Lord Godalming's brows contracted, and he stood up and walked about the room. By and by he stopped, and said, turning from one to another of us, "Quincy's head is level. This burglary business is getting serious. We got off once, all right, but we've now a rare job on hand, unless we can find the Count's key basket. As nothing could well be done before morning, and as it would be at least advisable to wait till Lord Godalming should hear from Mitchell's, we decided not to take any active step before breakfast time. For a good while we sat and smoked, discussing the matter in its various lights and bearings. I took the opportunity of bringing this diary right up to the moment. I'm very sleepy, and shall go to bed. Just a line. Mina sleeps soundly, and her breathing is regular. Her forehead is puckered up into little wrinkles, as though she thinks even in her sleep. She is still too pale, but doesn't look so haggard as she did this morning. Tomorrow will, I hope, mend all this. She will be herself at home in Exeter. Oh, but I am sleepy. Dr. Seward's Diary. 1st of October. I am puzzled afresh about Renfield. His moods change so rapidly that I find it difficult to keep touch of them, and as they always mean something more than his own well-being, they form a more than interesting study. This morning, when I went to see him after his repulse of Van Helsing, his manner was that of a man commanding destiny. He was, in fact, commanding destiny, subjectively. He didn't really care for any of the things of mere earth. He was in the clouds, and looked down on all the weaknesses and wants of us poor mortals. I thought I would improve the occasion and learn something. So I asked him, "What about the flies these times?" He smiled on me in quite a superior sort of way, such a smile as would have become the face of Malvolio, as he answered me. "The fly, my dear sir, has one striking feature. Its wings are typical of the aerial powers of the psychic faculties. The ancients did well when they typified the soul as a butterfly." I thought I would push his analogy to its utmost logically, so I said quickly, "Oh, it's a soul you're after now, is it?" His madness foiled his reason, and a puzzled look spread over his face, as shaking his head with a decision which I had but seldom seen in him, he said, "Oh, no, oh, no, I want no souls. Life is all I want." Here he brightened up. "I'm pretty indifferent about it at present. Life is all right. I have all I want. You must get a new patient, doctor, if you wish to study zoophagy."